Who would have thought it was going to be Gleyber Torres that ends up doing the Jays in? A 3-2 win for the Yankees, not exactly what we wanted to see, Ben. Our boy Chicken Strips with another good outing, but this time a loss.
Yeah, you know, it's just, to answer your question, high school me would have thought, because that's the last time that I was really afraid of what Gleyber Torres could do outside of Camden Yards. But, you know, it continues in these close games, and we had talked about it a lot. You know, they couldn't win every close game, so it's a bummer. But I don't think it's a game to be entirely sad from overall. There were at least some positives.
Yeah, there absolutely are some positives. How about keeping this lineup to just 3 runs? Ben and I will talk about the positives and the negatives from the entire season thus far. We'll play the Baseball Reference name game, and we'll break down and preview the next game in this series in which the Blue Jays are on the brink of losing their first series of the season. It's Locked On Blue Jays, and it's right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Matt Bonaparte and Ben Shulman with you on Locked On Blue Jays. It is your Tuesday edition. Ben, not exactly the outcome from last night's game that any Blue Jays fan wanted to see. The Yankees are going to be pests all year for the Jays. And you know what? Before we get into it, thanks for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Ben, a brutal game last night.
Yeah, heartbreaking one. You know, like a lot of people in Toronto, I had one game on the hockey game and one eye on the hockey game and one eye on the baseball game. So I think for a lot of people, they had a positive night. It's just a bummer because, again, it's, you know, they've been in like almost every game. So it's a game you feel like they could have won. At the same time, you have to remember it's a baseball season and they're not going to win every game. But, you know, you look back at that seventh inning where Heinemann doubles down the line and Kirk doesn't score, and that one hurts. You know, I think we found a moment where both, you know, I was clamoring on Twitter to pinch hit Collins. So, you know, Charlie outsmarts me there, absolutely. but then Joe Siddle brings up a really good point on the telecast too, where it's like, why wouldn't you pinch run for Kirk? He's the DH, and it was the seventh inning. Like, he actually did end up coming back up, but it was kind of unlikely at that point that he would. And if you pinch run Bradley Zimmer, you can pinch hit Zach Collins for him in the ninth inning if you need to. So I think Zimmer probably scores on that. So that one kind of hurts because it felt like they could have taken a lead there. And again, like, I'm not in the business of wasting good starts from Ross Stripling. Because he, again, was solid. Got knocked around a little bit, but you end with four innings, 2 earned runs. That's, like, absolutely what we're going to take from Stripling. And I know they give up the run late, but frankly, like, for the bullpen to put together 5 innings of 1-run ball, like, that's a good performance you don't want to waste. So it's a lot of the same old stuff, unfortunately. The guys are hitting now, but the team, you know, Sportsnet threw up a graphic before the game that the Jays were 29th in the league in average with runners in scoring position. And they went 1-for-8 in runners in scoring position. They're getting hits now. That's just kind of the difference.
Yeah, and the other thing is they had a chance to win this game in the ninth, and they didn't really have to face the Yankees' best bullpen arms. They saw Miguel Castro, Clay Holmes, and Chad Green, who are all pretty good, but they didn't really have to see Chapman late. They saw Loaisiga early. They didn't have to see Michael King, like I mentioned on our last episode. So I would have liked them to see, or I would have liked to see them try and knock around those bullpen guys, because we've seen Chad Green give up leads plenty of times before, and so far this season he hasn't exactly been rock solid for the Yanks. So I was expecting the Blue Jays to make some noise in the ninth, but it didn't happen, and they took the loss, and now they are on the brink of losing their first series of the year. Only them and the Mets are teams that have not lost a single series this season. So, but I think that we have to look back on that and be pretty proud of what this team has done, because I think you and I both thought that the Jays were going to be pretty solid coming into this year, but I don't know if we thought that they weren't going to have lost a series about 25 games in.
Yeah, they're in some weird mix of like over and underachieving, because they've won a lot of games, but like not pretty. But yeah, I mean, you look at you told me this first month included two Bostons, two Houstons, and a Yankee series, and you didn't lose any of those, like, that's got to be a big win overall. Now, the weird thing is you go look at the Jays' overall run differential, and you're like, well, this feels way different than last year. Last year, they were well above 500 with, like, a run differential that marveled or, you know, was put up against, you know, the Giants and the Dodgers and stuff like that, despite the fact they didn't make the playoffs. Now, this year, they have an even run differential, but they're six games up. So, it's kind of weird because I don't feel like they've played all that well, but they've still obviously taken care of business.
Yeah, I kind of feel very similar to that because, like you mentioned, that win-loss or the Pythagorean win-loss, the run differential is even, which is like really odd for a team that is as successful as this one. You don't really see that, which kind of makes you think like, oh, is it luck that they're winning these games? You know, they're just kind of lucking into games, and especially in the early season, I think that's what your brain wants to tell you. But you also have to remember that they're winning these games without Teoscar Hernandez and Danny Jansen and Hyunjin Ryu. So there's a lot to that as well, because you don't have two of your biggest bats in the lineup and your starting catcher, and then you don't have one of your most veteran arms, or your most veteran arm. So I think there's something to be said there as well. And are guys picking up the slack around the lineup and around the rotation? Absolutely. And the bullpen has been pretty sensational thus far. But still, I mean, when you get those guys back and you get this team to full health, I think it's an entirely different Toronto team.
Yeah, the offense specifically, which is what everyone's kind of banging their head on the wall about, is, you know, it's looked way different since Teoscar went out. And it was a tiny sample size, but way different. And the good news is, and I think a lot of Blue Jays fans saw that yesterday, Teoscar's going to do a rehab assignment in Dunedin. So it's only a matter of time when guys head out to do their rehab assignments in the minors before they rejoin the team. There's potential for Teoscar to be there next series in Cleveland. So I think honestly what it's about here, frankly, with how much of a buzzsaw the Yankees at least are right now, 10 wins in a row, you know, don't get swept. The series streak thing, it's great, but at the same time, it's going to come to an end. You mentioned it's the Jays and the Mets. The Mets lost yesterday, too. Like, they're on the brink of losing their first series of the year. No one's going to win every single series they've played in. The Yankees have lost a hand. Like, they lost a series to the Orioles this year. So, you know, you're going to lose one at some point. And I think it's just about, you know, hanging tough, staying in the mix. Teoscar's going to come back. And also the Jays schedule is going to open up a little bit because it's been, you know, it's been a tough ride and it's not getting so much easier. You still go at Cleveland and then back to the Bronx, but Tampa's good. They're not full Tampa this year. Seattle coming up, Cincinnati coming up. You're going to get a little bit. Yeah, Cincinnati should be a sweep. Seattle, you can beat in a series at home. They're a fine team, but, you know, I still think if you're trying to be a, you know, assertive playoff team, you'll beat the Mariners in the series at home. So there are wins coming, and your pitchers are lined up not awesome for this series anyway. So I wouldn't, like, hit the panic button if the Jays lost this series. It's, you know, it's one of many.
And an underrated road trip at the end of this month. They go for two games in St. Louis, and then a day off, and then they're out in Los Angeles to play a four-game set against Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, and the Angels. Which
the Angels are playing well. They're playing real well.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely are playing well. I mean, the AL West is a little bit wild that the Angels are leading that and that Houston's struggling a little bit. Yeah. But after all, this is a Blue Jays podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a quick step aside when we come back. The baseball reference name game will be with you, Matt Bonaparte and Ben Shulman on the other side.
With spring in the air, it's a time of renewal and growth, personally and professionally. As your small business grows, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Look, I'm looking around for jobs as well, like this one, and it was helpful that there was a free job post in minutes from LinkedIn Jobs from Locked On Network, and the whole network is the world's largest professional one with over 810 million people. It's why small businesses, big businesses, all businesses consistently rate LinkedIn Jobs as delivering high-quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
How about a 5-0 win for Toronto yesterday over the Tampa Bay Lightning? The Stanley Cup playoffs rage on. And hey, if you want to place a bet on Toronto, they're 1.5 favorites in Game 2, which takes place tomorrow. Go to Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball. And hey, how about the NHL playoffs? Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or start using your mobile device to learn more about new trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
It's the Baseball Reference Name Game on Locked On Blue Jays, your Tuesday episode, and we appreciate you tuning in and making us your first listen. Now make your second listen the Locked On Now podcast after this one. Recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network. Free and available wherever you get your podcasts, just like us. And you can check us out on Twitter at Locked On Jays. It's the Baseball Reference Name Game. And essentially what we do is we pull some weird nicknames from former Jays or current Jays off of Baseball Reference. We do two lies and one truth and try to see if the other guy can guess which of these nicknames is real and which of these nicknames were making up. Now, for me personally, Matt, I clicked on the 2009 team to snag my nicknames.
I started 2012.
You did 2012?
And then I went 2015, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes I got to mix it up, too, and grab from some different teams. But I decided to see if I could get some guys from the 2009 team that I didn't even remember were on that team. Would you like to go first?
I think you've got the lead, right? You've got one up on me?
Well, you swept last time. What did I do to you last time? Yeah.
I think we're tied.
All right, we'll say we're tied.
You might have gotten 2 out of 3.
We'll say we're tied. We're tied heading into week 4, and we are ready to get going here. Would you like to go first, or should I go first?
Because sure,
you
won
the
first
last one. All right.
My first one is Eric Thames, who was a Blue Jay back in 2012.
He was a Blue Jay candidate.
Yeah, he is a little bit of a he was a Blue Jay candidate because, you know, he got famous on the Brewers, and then he went to the Nationals and the whole bit. I think he went to Korea at some point, or Japan, somewhere. Anyway, my nicknames for Eric Thames are the Thames River. Of course, in England, there is the Thames. So I believe that's where they're playing off of there. And then there is Mr. T. I believe they're going for, of course, Mr. T in that one. And then a lot of guys call this guy the Machine, Ben.
There's no way I'm guessing the Machine. Like, I will lose. I will proudly lose on the Machine if there's more uncreative baseball nicknames, because as we've documented, the Machine to me is like, it's like 7-Eleven in football, which I've already said this. Every time you watch Hard Knocks in the NFL, they're like, they call him 7-Eleven because he's open all night. And it's like, oh, he's the, you know, is Chris Hogan really 7-Eleven? Like, but regardless, that's kind of a niche reference for you non-NFL fans. Okay, so what are the options? I got the River Thames, which seems very eloquent.
You've got Thames River, you've got Mr. T, and you've got the Machine.
Why would they name him after a British river? Like, you know, I'm going to go Mr. T, but I don't love it.
Mr. T is correct. Mr. T is correct.
It felt like really one you things, might make up.
Yeah, I couldn't really think of things that were like very Eric Thamesy. So
yeah,
I went with
fair.
The Machine to try and throw you off.
All right. Well, that's one. The Machine, I had to disregard the Machine because it would throw me off if I considered it. I had to just immediately abandon it. All right. So I got one. Here's my first one. It's Brett Cecil, longtime left-hander for the Jays. Also pitched for the Cardinals for a little bit. The three ones I got are Scrapper, yeah. Professor, and Squints.
Squint stands out. Professor? I don't think so. What was the first one? Scrapper? No shot. We're going Squints here.
Squints is correct. I don't know who called him that because it feels kind of mean given his Rex Specs, but he was called Squints, a glasses man. All right.
That's big for me. Tag team. Yeah. All right. My second one is Kevin Pillar. Kevin Pillar patrolled the outfield for the Jays for a long time, made a name for himself as one of the best defenders in the league, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
As you probably know.
Oh, yeah.
Here are my three nicknames for Kevin Pillar.
Okay.
Number one, the Pickle Warrior.
Okay.
The Pickle Warrior.
All right.
Number two, simply Pill. Just Pill. And three, Alejandro. Alejandro.
So the fun thing is like, this is the point of the baseball reference same game. His actual nickname would be, like, Superman.
That was too obvious, so I didn't pick that one.
Yeah, I know. I knew you weren't. I was really hoping you weren't going to pick that one, which was a good decision by you. So we got Pill, Alejandro, and what was the other
one? Nope, you've got Alejandro, Pill, and the Pickle Warrior.
You know, it's baseball reference, and we were inspired to do this because of Piv, so I'm going to guess Pill.
Pill is correct.
Yeah, they are not good at making nicknames up. Basic. They're just like, this is what your name starts with. People probably called you that. I don't know why they feel like they have to force it. No one called that man Pill. It's a weird... No one wants to be the Pill.
He was also KP. I thought that was too obvious.
Yeah, that's way too obvious. That's just his... That shouldn't count as a nickname, too. That's just his initials. Like, it's not like CP3 or something, or, like Chris Bosh, some people called CB4 or CB1.
Thames had a couple other good ones. Thames was he had Sang Namja, Mr. T, and Phone Home. But I thought the other two would have been too obviously stood out.
Phone Home.
Phone Home, cool. I think they're calling him ET, which is kind of wild.
That's pretty cool. I like that one. I would have maybe missed that one. All right. I'm 2 for 2. You hit your first one. Your next one is Mark Sepchinski. His three nicknames. Scrabble, Black Diamond, Dictionary.
Black Diamond? Why would he be Black Diamond?
Do you want me? You made up explanations for all of yours. I'm not going to tell an explanation for any of them unless I say for all of them, or else it would be obvious, you know? All
right. I think it's got to be either Scrabble or Dictionary. Scrabble makes a lot more sense to me. I'm going to go Scrabble.
Scrabble is correct. You are 2 for 2. Black Diamond, while not a good nickname, his last name ends in ski, and I thought you might think some people might give him a skiing nickname rather than a...
Oh, okay. That did not connect to me at all.
Yeah, I was apparent. All right. We're both perfect so far. Meanwhile, you've hit 5 in a row, dating back to our last baseball reference name game. We got one more each aside to try and decide, you know, who's going to leave this one on top or if we go tied into next week. So let's hear it.
All right, my last one is Ryan Goins. Ryan Goins. Number one, Da Professor. Now that is D-A space Professor ending in A-H. Okay. So, Da Professor.
Okay.
Number two is the Minister of National Defense. And that's defense with a C.
Yeah.
Canadians love spelling it that way.
Yeah. Well, everyone but Americans love spelling it that way.
Yep. Yep, the Minister of National Defense. Or is it simply Go-Go? That's our guy, Go-Go. You know, around the clubhouse, you're like, hey, Go-Go.
Yeah, it's
Go-Go. Or are you like, hey, the Minister of National Defense.
I'm locking in Go-Go. It's Go-Go.
Dang it. It's Go-Go.
Let's go.
Correct.
Let's go.
I was hoping you'd be proud of me not picking the Secretary of Defense and actually going the extra mile to learn what it's called.
The minister?
The
I appreciate it. I appreciate
it. I tried to throw you off.
Yeah. Well, I had Go-Go in my mind, and then when you said it, I was like, all right, yeah, it's Go-Go. I wasn't 100% sure until you said it, but I got it. All right, well, you need this one to hold the tie, but to be fair, you have hit 5 in a row, so let's see. Scott Downs, pitcher for the Jays way back when. Here are your three nicknames. Snake Face, Dragon Eyes, and Keanu.
Keanu? What, does he look like Reeves?
I would assume that's the link they maybe were making, but like this is 2009, so I'm not that topical at that point.
This is tough. Snake Face or Dragon Eyes? No one calls somebody Dragon Eyes, but they would call him Snake Face. I'm going Snake Face here.
Snake Face is correct, and you are reading me like a book. That is six in a row for Bones going back to last week, and we are tied at the end of another baseball reference game. I gotta step it up. I mean, eventually we might start pulling Nantes, or also we might just we're gonna have to dig deeper back into the archives where like I'm not gonna have a chance at knowing a guy's nickname, and like 80s nicknames are weird. We'll have fun then. But for now, you know what? We can't miss. We both hit all three. We both remain tied. And we got one more segment coming up on the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. Alek Manoah on the mound coming up against the Jays today. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Why choose to spend 30, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store, $216 from Rock Auto. Save that cheddar because Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Series on the line and Alek Manoah on the mound. That's probably what you want if you are a Blue Jays fan. For the Yankees, it's Jameson Taillon on the bump. If you don't know Jameson Taillon, this is a guy who Garrett Cole once described as one of the biggest warriors in baseball and said if you want anybody on your team to fight, it's going to be this guy. Although I don't think Yankees fans would agree. Last season was a pretty tough one for Taillon. Average at best, 144 innings, a 4.3 ERA. And just 140 strikeouts. So I'd say that was painstakingly average. And so far this season, he's been fine. Four starts, a 3.26 ERA, a whip at like 1.2. He's just an average pitcher. At the end of the day, Jameson Taillon is your average right-hander. But he's going up against a guy who is a lot more than average in Alek Manoah, Ben.
Yeah, some would say he was constructed not the same as other people were, because Alek Manoah has just continued to be disgusting for the entirety of his major league career, and that's obviously carried into this season, where he's already in four starts, 4-0 with a 1.44 ERA and a sub-1 whip. He's willed the Jays to wins. You got to go back to his last start probably to see the best example where he shuts out Boston in seven in a 1-0 win. Or you go back, he also helped the Jays beat Houston 3-2 in a game where he completely stifled them. Or shut out the Yankees on April 11th, the first game they played the Yankees this year. And I think we all remember that Manoah made his Blue Jay debut against the Yankees in the Bronx and has just pitched maybe his best ball against them overall of anyone, which is a lot to say because he's been a great pitcher in general. So with him on the bump, it's just so important that the bats do a little bit because you know he's going to give them a chance to win. I mean, you'd forgive him if he didn't, given the fact that he's just been so nasty. But you know he's given them a chance to win, and they just got to take advantage of it and pick up this win and send this series to a coin flip rubber match.
I also feel like this is an opportunity for the lineup to get kind of a bounce back and maybe a trampoline kind of thing because, you know, they haven't been great in the last six games. They've scored only three runs or more or less in the five out of the last six games. The only time they didn't do that was when they scored seven in the 11-7 loss to the Astros. So the offense like is been fine as of late. Like you mentioned before, the statistic about their 29th in runners in scoring position or average with runners in scoring position, that's not great at the end of the
day. It's going to correct, though, at some point.
Yeah, no, it absolutely has to. And I think that today's game could be that day. Because like I said, Tyone's not a great pitcher. He could put together a pretty solid start. But I think that this is an opportunity for the Blue Jays to go out there and just destroy a guy and get back on the track. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we've talked about this offense a lot. And I think we all know that it's one that can destroy any pitcher on any given day. And on the flip side, as a representative of the Yankee fandom, nobody in the Yankee world likes Alek Manoah because the guy is an absolute beast, and he's going to be a beast for a long time. And I think one day, not too far from now, we're going to be able to establish him and claim him as an ace in this league.
Yeah, I mean, he is basically doing nothing but win. The Jays have won his last 12 starts. His slider is like Dave Steeb's, and he's just doesn't seem to care at all about how young he is or about how inexperienced professionally he is or the fact that he's pitching in, you know, arguably the toughest division in baseball over, you know, the last whatever many years. He just continues to go out there and act like he should be dominating, and he is dominating. And he is so fun to watch. It's hard to say that watching him is the most fun in this rotation, because Gausman's splitter is so nasty. Gausman's
so much fun to watch. And that'd be, Barrios that is starting, a crazy argument to have.
And Barrios is starting to get super fun, too. Like, Barrios all of a sudden is turning into exactly what we wanted him to be. But Manoah, like, the fact Manoah is giving either of those guys a shot to be more fun to watch is crazy. So turn on your TVs today and watch Alek Manoah, because it is a marvel.
We could do, I was just thinking about this, maybe we should do a segment on which pitchers we just like watching more.
Like watching?
Because, yeah, because Manoah is like you said, I mean, just, he's really fun to watch just because his stuff has so much movement. And like you said, his slider is pretty impeccable. Got a guy like Kevin Gausman on this team who is just insane, and he makes the ball do things I've never seen anybody make a ball do before. But then you still have a guy like Jose Barrios who's going to go out there and be your established ace and have a crazy slurve. So yeah. There are so many candidates on this team for that because there's just so much fun pitching. Bats are always fun, and people always want their hitters to be exciting and hit the ball a lot, but for my money, I always love pitchers dominate over hitters.
Yeah, yeah. I think pitchers duels are kind of my more preferred game experience. Not that I don't like offense. And right now, I'm a little sick and tired of the pitchers duels with the Jays games. But yeah, maybe we'll pencil that in. We got some ideas for like quarter mark of the season coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Episode 40. And maybe we can do like a little fun meter, because they haven't fully hit their stride yet, but I am a long believer that the Blue Jays do lead the American League in fun, and probably will continue to for a lot of the year, and so I think we could definitely do some fun rankings coming up.
You're lucky, if Tony La Russa didn't exist, the White Sox might be rivaling the Jays for that.
But that's a huge like,
but he does.
Yeah,
that's a huge if.
You took a fun group and you brought them into Chuck E. Cheese, and all of a sudden you're like, "Well, I don't think this is what we thought it was anymore." You know.
All right, that's it for today's episode of Locked On Blue Jays. Thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Tomorrow, Ben and I will be back breaking down the second game of this series. Maybe the Blue Jays keep it alive. Maybe they lose the series tonight. You will find out, of course, later. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan is our guy. Please call him Sully. He's going to bring you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.